Philemon in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ, to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, now also the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is in mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or if thee ought, put that in mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how. Thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have the joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence and obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Therefore, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I think the people that read their, believers that read their New Testament, quite often will find the key often in the opening verse, and sometimes it is in the concluding one. I would suggest to you that the concluding verse of this little epistle gives to us the key. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I think one word really would sum up this morning, brethren and sisters, what I have on my mind to speak about. And I want to speak about attitude. Attitude. Now, it is here called the spirit of man. Rather, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, or the spirit of Paul. Amen. Attitude. What is attitude? That's a good question. You know, people will say, and young people today will say, well, so-and-so has an attitude. And of course, those of us that are older want to know what kind of an attitude. But usually when they're making a statement like that, they're talking about an attitude that is wrong. I want to suggest to you, if I fail to mention it in my remarks, that the writer of this epistle, at this time, as well as the one that he is writing to, Philemon, if you like, passes the acid test of attitude with flying colors. C.S. Lewis, a lot of people have read C.S. Lewis's books. I've likely read more statements that he has made than actually read his books. Made this statement. He said, when a man is taken off guard, it's likely the best evidence of what sort of a man he is. For he said, the suddenness of a provocation, the suddenness of something that provokes me, doesn't make me an ill-tempered man. It just shows what an ill-tempered man I am. In other words, the guard is down. He gave an illustration, maybe it's kind of crude. He said, it's like going into an old cellar, and he said, you flip on the lights, and you see the rats. No, he said, the light did not create the rats. It just exposed what was always there. Sounds very serious to think of that, brethren and sisters. That most of us live guarded lives. Nothing wrong with that. Guarded personalities. Guarded attitude. But there are, if there has not been, there will be times in your experience when you're going to be put to the test. When you are put to the test of attitude. And that was exactly what was happening with Philemon. Concerning Onesimus, this runaway slave. The apostle is looking at a man that had so much going for him. Such a commendation amongst believers. He did not want him to fall on his face in view of all the past that was so commendable. Usually, brethren and sisters, is it not true that it is our failures? It is our mistakes. It is things that we say that we should maybe have never said that are often long remembered by the Christians more than the positive things that we have done. Well, I still haven't answered the question, what is attitude? Attitude is among a number of things, but let me say this. Gratitude is an attitude. Attitude is a habit of thought. Attitudes are contagious. They can spread. You be around someone long enough with a bad attitude or a negative attitude, and you will become negative. You will have that bad attitude. So it is something that can spread, so can a good attitude. But be reminded of this, that one bad apple in the whole bushel can soon spread to the others, but all those other good apples does not make that bad one good. So is it when it comes to attitude. You see, there was so much at stake. There were so many people just watching the crises in a man's life to see what he would do. He say, who is he being watched by? He is being watched by the inside. That was the same for Colossae. I would suggest to you that the whole of the teaching of the Colossian epistle will rise or fall with what Philemon does in this particular case. All that he has written, all that Paul has given to that church as we would read the Colossian epistle, is now being practically displayed in a man by the name of Philemon. So he's being watched by the inside. He's being watched by those saints there in Colossae. What will this man Philemon do? I mean, Philemon stood among them as one that was appreciated. Paul tells them that. He says, the bowels of the saints, the saints have been so refreshed by you, brother. You know what he's really saying? I don't want to use street language, but he's saying, don't mess up now. Don't make a mistake now. You're too far along the path of Christian testimony, Philemon, and so are you, brother, and so am I. Yet we are so vulnerable. Attitude. You say, well, what will produce a good attitude? You know, I've thought about this more than just the last week. There is nothing that will produce a right attitude in me like the reading of the Word of God. Because reproduced in me by the Spirit of God as an attitude that I will take from that word. An attitude that I will take from this person. The apostle says, let this mind be in you. You see, if we're right in our thinking, my thinking, there's a lot of things that compose the attitude, but if my thinking is wrong, misunderstood facts, things that are wrong, will produce a wrong attitude. And the apostle is really writing here to, oh, you're flies and spiders. Anyhow, we'll get by. Keep you awake. We'll keep me going. And so that's why he's writing, because he's being watched by the inside. But more than that, he's being watched by the outside. Remember what Paul says in Colossians 4 and 14? Walk with wisdom to who? Toward them that are without. So you see, as we move, it's not just the saints in that local testimony that are watching us. The inside is watching. The outside is watching too. But you know, there's another side that is watching. There were those philosophers. There were those wrong teachers. Those men that were teaching false doctrine. Because you see, the test of any doctrine is what it produces. The test of any ministry, brethren and sisters, at this conference or any other conference, will be in what it produces. The ministry given in any local assembly will be evident in what it produces. When I go to any given company and I witness whatever in that company, I realize this is what the teaching has produced. Understand? So attitude was so important because this man was being watched so carefully. Your attitude determines the climate of your life. Let me go further and say this. Attitude is a choice. Attitude is a choice, brethren and sisters. Happiness is a choice. Gratitude is a choice. Then attitude is a choice. I'm speaking to one here this morning, and truth be known, you're working with a bad attitude. You may try to cloak it. Mr. Lewis says you may try to guard it. You may try to pretend that it's not so, but deep down there's an attitude. And circumstances meet that are unfavorable. Things collide in your experience. That attitude will so quickly come to life. And so therefore we have necessary this little epistle of Paul to Philemon. You know, any man that amounted to anything always had a test in his life. Any man that amounted to anything for God had a test of his attitude in his life. I could go down and show you Daniel, I could show you Joseph, but let me say Abraham. With Abraham, it was a material choice. Notice his attitude toward it. Notice his attitude. Lot, go ahead. Go ahead. The choice is so obvious. The spiritual man can always give first turn to the carnal man. Notice through all of that, the attitude that that man possesses when it comes to a material choice. With David, it was a moral attitude. You know, David never bowed down to idols. There's a lot, so much to be said for David. There's only one David in our Bibles. There's other men that have the same name, but there's only one David. I'm amazed when I read anything that connects itself with Jerusalem. How many names in Jerusalem even today have A-D-I-D as the latter part of that name? David. But so there's a day when his attitude fell. I don't want to get into that. Paul, it was a spiritual attitude. But with Philemon, you know what it was? It was a personal attitude. It was his attitude toward what he was hearing. It was his attitude toward what he is receiving. And it is his attitude to this young man, Onesimus. Now, I would take from the epistle, when he says that he has sent him back again, that right now this man is poised on the brink of a decision. What way is it going to go with this man, Philemon? I mean, you know, he could have said, well, within my rights, you know, there's a little expression given to Mephibosheth that I have overlooked for years, that I enjoyed just some time ago reading about Mephibosheth. You know what he says to David when the king is coming back? What right have I? What right have I? You know what he's saying? I don't have rights. Dear believer today, as the world speaks of it, you and I do not have rights. The only right we had was to eternal punishment for our sin. We have no rights to claim. You see, if I have a wrong perspective of that, it will produce a wrong attitude in me. I think you can pick that up almost with Philemon here. You know, if we were to take a penknife and remove from our New Testament all the teaching regarding personal relationships, we wouldn't have a lot of New Testament left. Is it not true, brethren and sisters, that where we are so often broken down is personal relationships? Oh, we talk about personality clashes and that, and really what it comes down to is an attitude. You know, if my attitude towards you, dear brother, if my attitude toward you, dear sister, toward any assembly, toward any company, toward any company, needs adjustment this weekend, let it be. Are you prepared? An attitude that you have come to this conference with, are you prepared to have that corrected by the Word of God? Are you willing to allow the ministry of the Word of God to so affect you? Oh, you say, but you don't realize what he did today. You don't realize what my family has suffered because of him. You know what they have done to us?
No, and I don't.
But you know what you'll never go wrong with?
A right attitude.
You see, Paul is dealing with a very, very sensitive situation here. There, you know, there is so much at stake. But notice, he doesn't make his claim as an apostleship. He doesn't pick up that authority. He is appealing to him. You see, Paul isn't coming and arbitrating. He's not arbitrating. Paul's not sitting down and saying, now listen, Onesimus, here's your side of it. Okay. You've been saved. And Paul, here's your. And Philemon, here's your. Oh, he's not doing that. You know what he's doing? He does what he did best. He appeals to him. He appeals to him. Brethren and sisters, in God's name, whatever kind of ministry comes from this platform this weekend, if it doesn't appeal to your heart, it'll never touch it. And it'll never change your attitude. The treatment of one young believer. Yes, the teaching of Paul. All of us. The church that is in thy house, whether his house was that large that it accommodated the church. Imagine a man whose house the church could meet in. That's a commendable thing. Think of it. The church meeting your house? Got it? Oh, you see, my house isn't, I'm not talking about its physical size. I'm talking about its spiritual condition. Our attitude right with you, brother, that the assembly could actually meet in your house? Paul says, the church that is in my house? Let me suggest to you something this morning. That we should so order our houses as believers that in essence, the church does live in our house. That company, the whole of that company could live in my house. You see, if it lives in my heart, it will live in my house. That's the test of this man, Philemon. Paul calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, what could possibly restrict this movement would be what Philemon did. Did Paul know what he was going to do? Was Paul penning these words saying, boy, I hope it goes right? You know, there are situations where you sit back and different ones are coming together and they're trying to work something out and you're saying, I just hope it goes right. Let me just tell you something. I want to give Philemon full marks. Full marks. I believe before Paul put his pen down, he was convinced what that man would do. Do you know why? Because he knew Philemon. Nice to have confidence in brethren like that, isn't it? Nice to, a situation that may arise to know there's brethren there and I have absolute confidence in what they'll do. Why? Because they're possessed of a right spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, amen. That said it all. That'll produce the right attitude. A church that was in his house. If a church was going to meet in his house, there obviously had to be prayer in that house. It was a home in which people could pray. I hope your house is a house where there's prayer, brethren and sisters. And that when the head of the house is not there to pray, the sister prays. And prays for those children. Prays for that family. Prays for the assembly. That was the kind of house that this man Philemon had. As a house that he could pray in. The word of God in my house. I just heard today, and I certainly want to back it up. I just heard it coming over this morning. A young brother and his wife got married within the last couple of months. And he said there's a lot of paintings back there at his mother-in-law's house because he doesn't have room for them. Well, I think there's more than one wall in his house. But he said, wait a minute, we're putting up the Word of God first. Boy, what a way to start a marriage. What a way to start a happy home. You put the Word of God in your house. Paintings have their place. And I'm not tearing away at paintings, but you keep it in proper perspective. You keep a balance there, brother. Why not put the two of them together? They have them today. You can get a nice painting and put the Word of God in it. He says, we're going to have the Word of God in our house. I believe that this man's house had that. Otherwise, well, brethren, think of it. If it's in the walls of where we meet as Christians, why is it not in the walls of the homes where we live as believers? The church that meets in thy house, would all of the church be comfortable in your house? Do you have an attitude, brother, sister, toward all the saints of that assembly that they could meet in your house and be quite comfortable there? Or would you have to admit they kind of would be on edge? They just wouldn't be easy. They just wouldn't be comfortable. Isn't it lovely to go into a home and when you are comfortable, you're at rest? There's a spirit that prevails, not a critical spirit. There's an attitude that seems to permeate the whole house. And you know right well that the church would be welcome in your house. Philemon, you have a doctrine. You have a doctrine that has been declared in the Colossian Epistle. You have now teaching that is coming to you personally in a letter. Can you imagine? Now, I just think when I was reading this the other day, can you imagine a letter written to you? To think that centuries later, somebody would stand at a conference platform and publish and preach about what you did. What would it be like if it had gone otherwise? What would it be like if this had never survived the inspired Word of God? Take the poor that we would be for the teaching that we stand in the good of. You know, when I think of this man Philemon, I'm thinking of grace that is remembered. That's what Paul is bringing for him. There's a grace that is remembered. When I think of Onesimus, I think there's grace that is required. The grace that is required. Again, I come to the last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. You know, I thought of just reading the last verse. Because it is the key to it. So there is grace, of course, that's remembered in Philemon. Remember the grace of God towards you. He was one of Paul's converts. Remember the grace of God in your own life. Now show that same grace to this man. To this man Philemon. To this man Onesimus. So with Onesimus it was grace that was required. With Paul it was grace that was revealed. There was something revealed here in Paul. Because you see, Paul could not sit and the beloved apostle and pen words to this man that he couldn't speak from his own heart about. You know, I suppose it would be relatively easy to stand up here and just kind of mouth words away about a good attitude. I don't have that. I don't know anything about it. Are you saying it's something that you have to work with? Absolutely. I don't think there's anyone here this morning that doesn't have to work with attitude. And brethren, as we make our way from this conference in the will of the Lord, we either go with the same attitude that we arrived with, or we go with one that is drastically improved. And I'll tell you the testimonies, whether in the Maritime Provinces or in the north of Ireland or any other country, will be greatly enriched by a change in attitude. You know, there's only one or two men that Paul could speak of as being profitable. That's interesting. We all know the one is John Mark. Lovely to think that at the end of the road he says he's profitable. Whatever you want to say about John Mark, whatever mistake he made, he said he's profitable. He says to this man, Philemon, profitable. Profitable. Let me ask you today. Profitable? Profitable, brother? Profitable to the assembly? Profitable to the testimony? Could it survive? Could it make it without you? I'm speaking to some here today, and really there's so little contribution to testimony. You just go along. And when it's something to be criticized or someone to criticize, you're willing to do it. And outside of that, you couldn't be that much help. Brother, may God help us. As this conference has begun, commences and proceeds. Believe it. With proper attitude.